I recently started taking Morning Kick, used and created by former karate champion Chuck Norris. Guys, I've never felt better. By the way, have you seen Chuck lately? It's like he's aging backwards. This guy is still throwing kicks. He's full of energy, and he's in his 80s. This is why I jumped at the shot of taking his revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions. This drink combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other greens out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade, and it has hundreds of five-star reviews. And by the way, I never tell you something tastes a certain way if it doesn't. It tastes just like strawberry lemonade. Since I started drinking Morning Kick, my digestion is smoother. My body looks leaner. I have energy all day. I just feel sharp. I want you to go to roundhouseprovisions.com/chael. Now, that's going to save you up to 44% off the regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost in energy, and just an overall healthier body, go to roundhouseprovisions.com/chael today. As spring makes its way into summer, there will be more outdoor festivals and concerts happening all around us. And if you're in the market for some new attire, let Tecovas help you out. A great pair of Western boots will elevate a casual look or add a refined flair that'll draw both eyes and compliments. I've seen some youngsters out there pull off wearing a nice pair of Tecovas ostrich boots with shorts. I've worn mine to a UFC event with a full suit head to toe. There is no limit to how you can wear a pair of boots, and the best way to shop for boots is at your local Tecovas store, where you're going to be greeted by the smell of fresh leather and a friendly smile. Go on in, grab a cold one, get fitted by a pro, and shop the latest styles. Tecovas also offers custom branding and leather stamping if you want to personalize your boots or fine leather goods. Visit Tecovas.com. That's Tecovas, TECOVAS.com. And don't go gently, y'all. What's happening, guys? Happy Tuesday. And thank you for joining another special episode of Your Welcome. I am back stateside after spending a week in Brazil, but not quite back in the beautiful state of Oregon just yet. I am in New York City, and I'm ready to tell you all about the weekend I just had, as well as some of the other happenings in MMA, because as I understand it, a lot has happened while I was away. Let's waste no time and get straight into it. Well, I just got back from Brazil, and what an incredible time I had. So, Derek, you know where my wallet is? Would you mind getting my wallet? It's out there. It's out there by the door. I need my wallet. I never thought I'd have to have proof. I never thought I would have to have a piece of evidence. But one of the great and most reliable writers, journalists, media members, contributors, I don't know what to call them. In our space, right? They've got a .com associated. You know, hey, turn in your work. Yeah. Yeah. 1,000 words by 5 p.m. Whatever that is in our space. Mike Bowen. Very good guy. Oh, Mike, he's this just wonderful guy. Got to watch him grow. But Mikey has reported and misreported that I was part of an exhibition fight. Now, there is no such thing as an exhibition fight. There is an exhibition, but you don't think you're going to call it a fight. That's like those pricks that go out and do a grappling match and then say that they got in a fight. Nah, I got a fight later today. Oh, wow. Do you really? Who are you fighting? Nah, so-and-so. Oh, man, I heard about him. I thought he just did gi jiu-jitsu. Yeah, that's what it is. Why'd you call it a fight? What's a fight? No, it's not. It's a grappling match. This is my federation card. This is my licensing. You may not be licensed and do an exhibition match. Are you aware of that? It's very fine detail. I understand that it's a fine detail, but it's important fine detail because you cannot do both. It is not within the rules, or nobody would ever do anything sanctioned ever again. Any promoter that brought in sanction is only bringing in a government entity to oversee them, to enforce their own rules, and to take 6% for the pleasure of doing it. Do you guys know what the SAG is? The Screen Actors Guild? I am part of it. And it is quite possible, I would argue for you, but I would be open if you wanted to argue. I wouldn't be mad about it, but I believe it is to be the greatest union in the world. I believe it to be the greatest unit ever formed. And I'll just share for you, if you're a member of the Screen Actors Guild, you can do other work, and we won't even call you a scab. But if you're a member of our guild and you go do other work, we will now have a problem with it, and we will call you a scab. You can't do both at the same time. This is what I'm trying to share with you. You cannot be licensed for obvious reasons and be part of a non-sanctioned event. And I tell you that because I was very proud. I went out and I had a fight. I had a fight with a gentleman who I've never beat. And I feel as though there's more to the story. On one hand, I've never beat this guy. On the other hand, I completed 6 rounds against him, 3 judges assigned to each round. So if that math's a little off, you get where I'm getting at those 6x3, 18 judges, even if it's the same judge over and over. 18 judges, 6 rounds, 30 minutes of fighting. I have never lost a round. In fact, 2 of those rounds were 10-8 rounds. So when I tell you I feel that there's more to the story, I feel like there's a little bit more to the story. I will be inducted into the Hall of Fame in a couple of weeks. And there was some resistance to that because I had not won a championship. Now, I have beaten 4 current Hall of Famers. I get that those aren't titles, but they're mine. That's what I have. I wasn't champion, but I beat 4 champions who are in the Hall of Fame. More are still coming. I'm talking about right now, there's not another fighter out there anywhere that's beaten 4 other guys that are in the Hall of Fame. I've done that. So these things do matter to me. And I went out to get into a fight. And I had Mike post an article. First off, he called it an exhibition. I don't know why he did that. Now, other people have used that word, but they used the word, they meant to say extravaganza, or they meant to say an exhibit. And it got lost in translation. And we've seen this many times. But in America, an exhibition, this is play. And Mikey then called our fight that, a glorified sparring match. And when it was done, I thought that I won. I thought that I won the first 3 rounds. He clearly won the last 2 rounds. Right, I think I won the first 3. He clearly won the last 2. He beat me up more in those 2 rounds than I did to him in the 3. I do understand those things, but I offer that to you just to illustrate that I understand those things. It's still a 10-9 must system. I won rounds 1, 2, and 3, 10-9. I lost rounds 4 and 5, 9-10. I thought I won. And Mike wrote an article and said, Chael chose to ignore and act as though this was to be scored as a regular sanctioned boxing match. What? His implication, of course, being that it was not a sanctioned and judged, regulated boxing match. Yes, it was. It bothers me. Now, I can't tell you I didn't have it coming. I can't tell you I haven't done that to the boys over in Pride, and I didn't work more than a few guys up. But I got to tell you, now that the shoe is on the other foot, it doesn't feel good. And why? I don't really know. I suppose I don't really know. My son gave me a hard time. His criticism of the fight, he said, well, you could have hit harder. I said, well, I appreciate that. But I fought this guy for over 30 minutes. And I hit him as hard as I could many times, but it wasn't hard enough to get him out of there. And therefore, it's a waste of energy. I have not made it to the distance with this guy before. He has not won a round against me before. So now in this contest, I'm going to do something different, which is I'm going to make sure I have energy. I'm going to do just enough to win the round to make sure I have energy for the other round. That's a strategy. And Mike Bowen said it was an exhibition glorified boxing match with a predetermined outcome. There is not a word of that statement that's true. Well, I had a couple of days to process this and look back. And I'm talking about Conor McGregor pulling out. And I have no problem with it. I was really upset about it for a couple of days. I must tell you, I was. I was upset because I was disappointed. And I was disappointed because can we ever have a hero tell the truth? Do you guys remember the Olympics where we as a world, particularly in North America as a country, but as a world, we supported Michael Phelps, 23 gold medals. I want to say he did like 19 or 20 of them at that one Olympics. It was insane. It would put him as one of the great athletes ever. Many people said the greatest athlete ever, but those are the same people that do the Michael Jordan and LeBron comparison, but then make it about resumes. Well, this many rings versus this many rings, and therefore it proves. It's one of those things. And it's not as though those people don't have an argument, by the way. It's just not a sophisticated, it's not a sophisticated way of thinking or a sophisticated way of arguing. Do I lose credit for being sophisticated when I can't even pronounce the word? I do, don't I? Yeah. You want to come tell the audience that? Yeah, I can't come over here and I can't come and tell the audience what sophistication is when I can't pronounce it myself, correct? All right. Well, then I will step down from my big lofty perch, my high-handed approach to this, and I will just come back to tell you.
Did you even take English class?
It was so disappointing. That's my son, Thero, ladies and gentlemen. The cheap seats, he just yelled out, did you even take English class? It was so disappointing after we did that for Phelps, and then he got caught smoking dope on tape. And, if you're a pothead, I wish the potheads wouldn't have won, but they did. And I can acknowledge that. So if you're a pothead and you're a proud pothead, you're a Joe Rogan type, then just be that. But Phelps wasn't. He went and hired a PR team and he put out a statement. And it was just one of these moves where you go, man, can anybody ever come as advertised? Like, Michael, is there any reason you and your crooked teeth couldn't go up and shut a door somewhere and smoke dope? Is there any reason your dumbass had to do it in front of a bunch of people with cameras? And I only bring that to you. That's how I felt when Conor pulled out. That's one thing that he has never done. The show must go on. The show always goes on. And then let's say you know why he pulled out. Let's say that you're me. Do you tell the people why he pulled out? I mean, we're all having to do it right now. Like, I wasn't sworn to secrecy on it. It wasn't a situation like that, but I do know what it was. And since he hasn't put it out or Audie hasn't put it out, obviously they don't want it out. So then what do you do in that situation? Just let the world pretend that he's hurt? Because I don't need to do that. But it was the same thing with Phelps. When Phelps goes and he hires a PR team to address smoking dope, and it was like one of these weird dances. I don't know if you guys ever saw Brock Lesnar get asked, have you taken steroids? And Brock Lesnar's answer would be a strong and emphatic, I have never failed a steroid test. Right, but that wasn't the question. Question was, have you ever taken steroids? I have never failed a steroid test. And Michael Phelps did something like that. I mean, this is a long time ago, and he turned out to be quite, so I don't really follow him, but he didn't deny that he had marijuana, but he most certainly did not confess to having marijuana. It was one of those deals. And that's where you always, I'd never be talking about Brock and the steroid test, and I'd never be talking about Michael Phelps, who most of you are going, who the f*** is that anyway? I wouldn't even remember it happened, except for the cover-up is worse than the crime. So when Conor has people coming out and saying that he's injured on his behalf, it's a tough spot, man. It's a very tough spot, because those people that are doing it that do not want to be doing that don't want to be doing that, because they know sooner or later it is going to come out and that he wasn't injured at all, and then they lose credibility. Or you have Conor in a doctor's office, or what is staged to appear to be a doctor's office, that never says anything other than, hey, we're going to get this handled. And it's one of those things where you're creating an idea and an image. Brock created the idea without making sure he never lied about steroids. Or Phelps created an idea that there's other things that you could be smoking than marijuana and you don't know what was inside of that paper that just got rolled. Or Connor creating the idea that he's hurt. I think where it is an honorable place. I remember when St. Pierre got a little stressed about fighting. He finished all of his obligations. He did not want to be in there against Johnny Hendricks. That's one of the pieces of the story. Like what George was dealing with, George never tells these things. George St. Pierre has left so damn much credit on the table because he never takes it. George giving the 85-pound belt back after 8 days, he had the right to keep that for 365 days. Have all the posters and all the media for all the great sponsors in the world with a belt over each shoulder. He was the only one that had it. He gave it back after 8 days. He didn't hold anybody up. He didn't hold up anybody's dreams. He didn't pretend that he had an injury, an illness. I'm coming back. Just let me get ready. Soak in that sponsor. He just gave it back. Never got credit for that. It's not how the story was told, as a matter of fact. He was dealing with something so big, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how big it was. It was big enough in his mind, and he's the one that's got to deal with it. That he had to stop his career to go and handle it. Well, he was dealing with that in his training camp, and he was dealing that when he headed to the cage, and he was dealing that when he had to dig deep to win those rounds to defeat Johnny Hendricks, and he did it anyway. See, George should have gotten credit for that. And there's many people that when they finally found out what it was, they said, hey, that's not that big of a deal. Well, you know what? That's really not for you to decide. Right? It's really not for you to decide. Connor is dealing with something. And not an injury. I don't know why we pretend that it's an injury. It's something that people would be very sympathetic. People would understand. Something they suspect anyway. I mean, it's one of those things. And I get it. I don't know what it will look like in the future to rebook him. I don't know if you can rebook him in a main event. But if you did, can he draw the same gate? Can he draw an even bigger gate? There's things about Conor McGregor that don't make sense, that just work for Conor. Knowing that that bright and beautiful light is going to dim on Conor makes you obvious. Dims on everybody, right? Well, it should have dimmed here. There's no title. There's no personal grudge. There's no reason for him to be fighting Michael Chandler. There's no reason for him to be fighting at 170 pounds. There's no reason for him to be fighting five rounds coming off of this kind of an injury. He does them all, and he turns in a gate that replaces his own number one gate. And he replaced it when this whole thing was said and done. They were going to come in somewhere around $27 to $28 million. So he was going to beat his own highest gate by 85%. I'm just telling you, like, we can't just count him out. We can't just look to the future and say it's not going to happen. He's handling this the way he wants to handle it. And somebody's got a hold of him and told him this would be best for business. But you're taking a guy who's never done anything that those experts have said would be good for business, and he's been right 100% of the time. And now he's following their script. And I feel as though if there's a mistake to be made, that's the first one. The very first statement where he did not own this and he put it on the U.S. After consultation with the UFC and my management team and an assortment of doctors, we have come to the conclusion, well, fair enough, that's what most guys would say. That's just not what Connor would say. Connor says he didn't have a boss. Connor doesn't wear a watch because nobody tells him where to be. Nobody tells him what time to be there. And now all of a sudden you can't make a simple decision that I'd rather kick this habit and go for a little bit and go in here and pretend there's a dog. I need the UFC and I need doctors and I need an assortment of team to tell me that I'm not going to be ready to fight Michael Chandler. I'm just telling you, it's off brand. You're taking one of the great workers ever, one of the great men of understanding this game, and pulling the strings from afar. And for the first time ever, he's handed control of the shop, which is social media in today's world, to a PR team who at a minimum has not been with him from the beginning, at a minimum does not follow the things that he does, at a minimum does not understand that the statement that they made is so far off-brand for Conor McGregor, Stevie Wonder could see that Conor didn't make it himself. But it doesn't change my position that I think he's doing the right thing. Enough for now. Summer is coming up, and that might mean that you're gonna have a little more time on your hands. Why not use it to learn a new language? Rosetta Stone, the most trusted language learning program that truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, is here to help you. Some of you may be traveling abroad this summer, and you might want to experience that country beyond just the touristy type spots. Your experience could be upgraded just by learning the native language. Now you can download the Rosetta Stone app to your phone or tablet and learn on the go while driving, riding on the subway, running on a treadmill, or even laying poolside with just a 10-minute lesson per day. Rosetta Stone's lessons are designed for long-term retention of language skills rather than short-term memorization. The focus of the program is preparing you for real, authentic conversations, not just knowing a couple of translations. It's like having your own personal trainer for language learning. Rosetta Stone has been used by millions of people for over 3 decades. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started for a limited time. My listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off. Unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. That's a steal. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. Guys, when I started podcasting, an online store was the furthest thing on my mind. But now we're selling Bad Guy Ink merchandise. That includes coffee. That includes t-shirts. Go get yourself a sticker if you would like. And you know what? It's very easy. And that's all because we use Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you to sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's where you go to help your business grow. Whether you're auctioning off autographed apparel or selling custom accessories, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person point-of-sale system, whenever and wherever you're selling from, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers and the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort. Thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I appreciate about Shopify is no matter how big you grow, you don't have to feel overwhelmed by the demand. Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level with ease. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's extensive help resources are there to support your success every step of the way, because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/chail, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/chail right now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/chail. After years of fine print contract and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if I have learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, I thought, what's the catch? But after talking to them, it all made sense. Guys, there isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They don't have retail stores or salespeople. Instead, they deliver premium phone plans directly to you. I honestly thought the plans and pricing were too good to be true. I'm thankful I was wrong. The coverage and reliability with Mint Mobile has been superb. Say bye-bye to overpriced wireless plans, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overages. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with premium wireless plans starting at $15 a month. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. Ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/chale. That's mintmobile.com/chale. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/chale. $45 up front. Payment required equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Alex Pereira. What the hell do you guys want to do about this? What do you want to do about this guy? I mean, do we go find more of him? Have we suddenly tapped into... I had some wrestlers over the years that got recruited. Coaches would see him somewhere and go recruit him. Bobby Janice, rest his soul, said to be the greatest wrestler in the history of the state of Oregon. At least at the time when he came through the state of Oregon. And, right, like anything, records are made to be broken. But I share that with you because Bobby was a baseball player when Coach Pittman found him. Bobby struck out, but he had a look in his eye when he struck out where Coach Pittman knew this guy does not like to lose, and he went and recruited him into wrestling. And is that our lesson here with Pereira? We need to go to kickboxing, kick, but this is where it's at. I mean, it was always wrestling. It was always Division I wrestling. It was always grappling, and it was always somebody that got a medal at Abu Dhabi. I mean, they were guaranteed locks to come over. And every time that we went to striking, like, let's just go all the way back to Maurice Smith. All right, we just found out if you get a real kickboxer, and you got to use the word real, because, and the way we're going to define that is somebody that's actually competed in kickboxing. Most people you know that say they do kickboxing have never competed in, and I'm not teasing them. By the way, like, it's hard enough to find a gym that does kickboxing, and then if you do it, I mean, it takes damn near an act of Congress to find an actual match that you could compete in. Think of you guys. You guys are sports fans. When's the last time you've ever been to a kickboxing match live? When's the last time you ever had an opportunity and you passed it up? Right? And you're going, well, the same answer is never. I've never been to one, but I've never turned one down. They've never done that in my hometown. They've never done that somewhere I've heard of, and I could drive to it. So I'm just sharing with you, when we found Maurice Smith, all of a sudden we go, okay, this is what we need. We need real kickboxers. And then a number of them came, and it just didn't work. They just weren't Maurice. And we couldn't quite understand why. What is going on and what the difference is? And it was a meaningful amount of time, guys. Clarissa Shields went and she got recruited. And she's having her career. Ray Seffel found that he likes organizing and being a leader within the sport and a trainer. Israel Adesanya comes in. And we see a great athlete. We see somebody with holes. And he was able to fix those holes in the gym. He was able to work hard and be smart to stay just enough ahead that even though we could identify the holes, we couldn't catch up to him. And we go right into grabbing Alex Pereira. Guys, I just gave you the history of kickboxing and mixed martial arts. I just gave you the whole history. And yes, there's John Wayne Pardo. Yes, there's Joe Schilling. I know that guys got left out. But is that our lesson now? Kickboxing did not work for a while, but now it does. And here's our guys. And that's what we're getting from Alex Pereira. I don't think so. Do you? No, probably not. What's so special about him? Why him? So special about Izzy? Why Izzy? I mean, Izzy came into this business, and if he's done, I mean, if he's done being on top, he's the best middleweight we've ever seen. Right? I mean, he's a guy, and you might give that to Anderson Silva. You might not. They fought head-to-head. I mean, it's one of those things. You might do it out of respect, even if you don't really mean it in your heart. And I'm only sharing with you how. How did he get that good that fast? And then you bring in Pereira. Alex Pereira is one win away from not only being the GOAT of all time, Alex Pereira is one win away from ending the discussion. If Alex was to move up to heavy, and he's got an amateur record, by the way. I mean, he is an amateur per his record. I believe he's now had 10 fights. I believe he's in the double digits. But just even, like his last fight, now he's got a 1 and a 0. Isn't that right? His next fight will be his 11th fight. Aren't I right about that? Because if I'm not, then he's at 9 fights and his next will be his 10th. He is one win away from there no longer being a debate on go. You don't even get to have a conversation anymore. If he were to go up and get the belt at heavyweight and he challenged Tom Aspinall, it would not matter if it was an interim championship, by the way. Not if you had three different weight classes. We as a community would be done having a discussion on GOAT. We would just refer every time we brought up GOAT, we would just say Alex Pereira. And he hasn't even got double digits yet. What? He's never had a wrestling match. What? He never made it to Abu Dhabi. In fact, let's back off of that. He never went to an Abu Dhabi trials. In fact, let's back off that. He never had a competitive grappling match. And he's one win away from being the GOAT, but not only being the GOAT, of ending our ability to even discuss. I mean, are you hearing what I'm saying? And now, when we're in trouble, who do we turn to? Him. So now you got a guy that's got this remarkable career. You've got a guy that's done things that defy everything. You're just left with your jaw dropped. Say, what is happening here? And he's a leader in the locker room. What? What? How did this happen? How did you guys let this happen? When we were in trouble at UFC 300, there was one champion that offered. Only one champion came out publicly and tried to get that main event spot, and it was him. And now as soon as we're in trouble at 303, who do they turn to? The same guy. The new guy. The unexpected guy. And I believe that we've got all the right players on this card now. I'm just not convinced of the order. I feel as though Lionheart Pereira was the fight to make. And that isn't me attempting to slide Prochaska. And I'm not even dismissing that Prochaska can win. He is awesome, without question. But I'm bringing you this point because it's not done yet. And where it rains, it pours. And you might have a real samurai that will make that walk. You might. And you might have somebody who decides they're not feeling quite as good as they were. I'm not saying that about Prochaska. I'm just letting you know this card isn't done yet. While we're in this situation, there are still many of things that are very possible and maybe even realistic. Or by the time 303's door opens and they start walking, you definitely could be seeing Pereira versus Lionheart. Oh, Bo Nickel. Oh, Bo got me, man. Oh, I was dying laughing. So, Khamzat Chimaev pulls out of his fight opposite Robert Whittaker. Did I say, I said that wrong. I said Khamzat. Khamzat Chimaev. What a stud. What an absolute stud. He's going to go in there and fight Robert Whittaker. I mean, that, oh, good Lord, that fight needs to happen. Oh, you know, because you all must have forgot, right, is that old expression, Bernard Hopkins. Y'all must have forgot. But Robert Whittaker's so good. And Robert Whittaker, historically, does better against grapplers than he does against fellow strikers. I mean, you want to see how good Robert Whittaker is? Go replay him versus Yoel Romero, part one or part two. Just go watch it. You'll go, oh, my God, Robert Whittaker is good. Yeah. Yes, Robert Whittaker is better than most Hall of Famers. Like, if the Hall of Fame came in categories, not only would he be in there, he'd be a little more shiny than some others. That's an interesting match. And Chimaev is still the most feared guy in that division. There is an absolute fear around Chimaev. And I'm just sharing with you that was going to be a great match. So Chimaev gets food poisoning and is going to miss the fight. So Bo Nickel comes down. He'd been hunting and camping. He was in Montana. So 3 days later, he gets to cell service and his phone's lit up. It's like, call me. You know, he's got Hunter Dana, managers, whatever the situation was, something along these lines. And what an opportunity missed, right? I mean, Bo Nickel opposite Robert Whittaker. Knowing that Robert Whittaker does better with wrestlers than he does with anything else. Could you imagine? You would never be able to keep Bo Nickel out of the big time again. Never. As soon as he gets a main event, you can't keep him out. If he does a main event on ABC, you can't keep him out. If he does a main event on ABC and does well with Whittaker, I didn't say he had to beat him, by the way. If he just goes out and does well with Whittaker, there will be no more discussion and or argument about he's not ready for the top guys and so on and so forth. All right. Big, huge deal. Guess what Bo said? Hold on, I want to read it exactly. Yeah, I don't want to disclose numbers, but they're up there. No, I don't care. Okay, it's too late. No, I don't care. They already had everything all figured out. I was gone. Nope, that's not the line. Dude's losing it for sure a bit. Okay, here we go. He said, I'm not really mad about not getting the fight. I didn't want to go to Saudi Arabia to fight. That's far as crap. What kind of a statement is that? It's far as crap. I mean, I know what it means. It means, you know, it's really far. But you usually use the word crap like when you're a good guy and you don't want to use profanity. And Bo's a good guy, so he didn't want to say S-H-I. You know, he didn't want to use that word, so he put crap in. But it doesn't even work with the S-H-I. I don't want to go to Saudi Arabia. That place as far as S-H-I. Like, it doesn't work. It just doesn't work in any fashion. But the fact that he didn't care that he missed the opportunity because he didn't want to go there anyway, I mean, I just got to tell you, that's great work. Because there is an expression, never let him see you sweat. And anybody else that would have told this story would have told it the vein of, oh, my God, my missed opportunity. Right. And what they're trying to do is to let you know, I am viewed. Here's how highly I am viewed by the company. The fact that they would call me and give me these opportunities does away with your false narrative that I didn't look good enough in the Grundridge fight at 300. Or I don't get to fight ranked guys, or I don't have enough experience. Like, right, they're telling a different story. And then they talk about the regret and how could they miss it and come back to me and now is my time. But Bo didn't do that. He said, I'm glad I didn't do the fight. Saudi Arabia, that's far as crap. And it's just, there's a brilliance in not letting them see you sweat. There's a brilliance in being the sought-after guy, which Bo disclosed and let us know that he, in fact, is. And I see him that way myself. But then there's a strength in saying, though I missed the call, I don't care that I missed the call. And he never mentioned the opponent. He never mentioned the short notice. He never mentioned the weight. Just mentioned the location. It's inconvenient. It's far as crap.
All right, everybody. Some of that was no surprise, but it was delivered better than anybody else could have done it. If you would like to support the show, you may do so by leaving me a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. My producer and I read them all, and we really enjoy hearing your feedback. I'm going to be back on Friday, everyone, with so much more. But until then, I'm Chael Sonnen, and you are welcome.